Evening to you. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. I think I'll get my pointer. When I thought of where we're at in our journey, I brought one Wednesday night message with the thought of moving from surviving to thriving. That really is a theme in my own life right now. Surviving is what seems to be all around us. You know, everybody's hanging on, and in some of the life situations, they're really quite sad, actually. And there aren't real clear solutions. But I recognize from Scripture, those are all circumstantial stuff. And it should not define our experience with Christ. We are to thrive in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what we experience. We see all sorts of examples of it. I listed some this morning. Can you imagine being a teenage boy in prison, wrongfully imprisoned by your brothers? That would be a little hard, but he thrived in that environment. He honored God in that environment. You just move through the heroes of the Old Testament and into the heroes of the New Testament, and you look around and you see all sorts of examples of individuals that are able to do better than simply survive. Let's read the passage together. In fact, I'll read it from up here. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people we shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of Moses, thy servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. First of all, it closes with probably the most significant aspect. If you're a believer, God's with us. We're not in this alone. But I think of three other thoughts. You notice how it repeats this phrase, be strong and of good courage? Look at that. How often is it repeated in these few verses? What's the answer to that? Three times. Okay, now you have to step back and ask yourself, the Spirit of God was moving in this situation. Why did the Spirit of God move Joshua to have that written down three times? Well, I'll tell you one thing that it reminds me of, that it speaks to my heart, that being strong and courageous may not be automatic. It was commanded to us, and it was commanded to us, and commanded. I think of my interaction with my grandkids. The one thing I've learned is saying it once doesn't always do it. And it really, really does help to be consistent and to repeat the message. And just, you know, that repetition is powerful. Well, the Spirit of God has delivered a message to us. And that courage is not automatic. And that's what we need today. And my honest opinion is that it's not going to get easier in America. We're cruising in directions. There are just things that the government has done, that our society is accepting, that it's a collision course with problems. And so I don't think it's going to be easier to walk with the Lord going forward. It is going to get progressively more challenging, and therefore we need to recognize that courage is not automatic. And if it's not automatic, what does it make it? The fact that he commands us three times, you know what it yells out to me? It's not automatic, it is a choice. And you and I cannot choose for someone else. Now, Joshua, we know in the passage in his book, he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But the reality is, when it came down to the mustard, his kids chose for themselves. He might have been able to control it for a while, but eventually they grew old enough so they chose for themselves. But so do we choose for ourselves. And so what my challenge to us tonight is to recognize, to be the man and the woman of God that we are intending to be, it's going to require courage, and it is not automatic. You're going to have to choose. Now, when I look at this, I look a little bit further. It is not optional. Not only is it not automatic, it is not optional. Because it's not optional if you want to prosper. Do you notice what it says in here? It's at the end of 7, that ye may prosper wherever you go. Now, let's just do a little poll here. How many of you would like to prosper? I mean, listen, if you don't want to prosper, there's something seriously wrong with you. Okay, it couldn't be clearer. It directly connects this concept of choosing to courageously walk with God with experiencing the prosperity that he intends for us. Now, I don't honestly believe that this isn't a prosperity gospel. What I'm talking about, prospering in our walk with God, no matter what our circumstances, and that may mean that it's not going well circumstantially. And how I handle that personally, how I reconcile that in my own life and in my own thought process, is that this is not the main event. We so often get confused that it's how this life is going, it's everything. And how I spend the next 10 years, that's everything. No, you know what? Forget the next 10 years. Even if the next 10 years are horrifically horrible, if you live for God properly, eternity and all of its blessings will make it all well worth it. Amen? And so we need to keep a perspective. It's kind of what I was talking about this morning. We need to lift our eyes over the circumstances, start looking on to the Lord, and say, you know what, no matter what it is, and there are a lot of situations that are happening, they're beyond us, we're not going to necessarily be able to change them, but we can respond properly to them. And that has got to be our charge. As individuals, as a church. I, for one, was deeply disappointed with the school situation. I was deeply disappointed. I was certain that once we got through that first meeting where they said, they didn't say no, and then they came back and gave a specific list, you must do these 5 things in 1 week. And then when I remember reading them, I was, talk about discouraged. I read those, I said, there's no way. 7 days later, we had accomplished all 5. And they still said no. Well, I'll tell you, in the flesh, I know what I felt like doing, okay? There was another response that was going on. But you know what? Now, a week or so later, I thank God for this experience. I don't know about you, but the Lord deeply encouraged me and challenged me and blessed me by the whole process. And I hope you did too. It was just sweet to see how we, as a body of believers, and I wasn't even here to be part of it, other than I was hearing the reports. Wow. The third point is courage doesn't come naturally. And then in the passage, he goes on to explain what he means. He goes on and talks about this phrase, which is quite confusing when you first read it. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, doesn't that sound odd? It sounds like, don't you go tell anybody about Jesus, doesn't it? At least, maybe I'm the only one. I probably just entered that thought into your mind for the first time. And forgive me if that's the case. But that's how I read that. But it's really a challenging passage to translate in the original language, just the way it is. But I'm not going to mention which translation, because some might not like even the fact that I would know that this other translation would have it said this way. But it's always on your lips. That's really the thought. Let the word of God always be on your lips. It's not depart from your mouth. It's always there. It's always part of who you are. Now, that's a sweet truth. You understand what it is? It's saying that there isn't a time when you departmentalize your life and you talk like a secular person. You are always, always communicating in a way that you're a messenger of the Lord. That's a sweet, sweet truth. So one of the truths that I get from that is speak the word. That's one of the things, if we want to prosper, it doesn't come naturally, so we need to cultivate it. We have to nurture it. And one is to keep it on our lips, make it be a natural part of who we are. That's why it is such a blessing that several in our congregation share verses electronically on their phones, and just a verse of the week, and several are memorizing together in that regard. Those are good things. Because you know what? We need to be constantly bringing ourselves back to know the Word of God is the way to live. It goes on to say, meditate. Notice that in verse 8. Verses shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Not only are we supposed to speak the word and have it on our lips, we are to think the word. Haven't we talked about thinking biblically? And one of the fascinating things is to hear circumstance. One of the processes that I do in my pastoral council is to initially, you have to establish some involvement with the other person. You're not going to be any sort of a blessing. And after you establish involvement, it is very good to be one who is instilling hope. But in addition to instilling hope, you're going to have to start to gather data. And then once you have gathered data, you need to interpret data biblically. You need to take, in our day and age, all of these medical terms and understand what they're talking about, and then look for how the scripture speaks to it, so that we think and talk biblically instead of medically, secularly. You know, understand what I'm saying? We have jargon in our culture that really, really can confuse issues. And so we have to be biblical. Think biblical, and that's what it's talking about here. Courage is not going to come naturally. We're going to have to nurture it. And one is to speak it, one is to think it. And the third one, it goes on in this very phrase, that, you see that in verse 8? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. What is it talking about? Speak the word, think the word, do the word. It's not just to know it. You know, that is a real problem in our day and age. Many, many, many people can quote a lot of scripture, and if specifically challenged, what would God want you to do? They say, well, this is what God would want me to do. Well, is that what you're doing? Yeah, no, not really. Didn't really match up with the circumstances. Not a good idea. We need to speak the word. We need to think the word. And we honestly need to do the word. So, what am I sharing? To go to thriving instead of simply surviving. This passage reminds me that I need to demonstrate courage. And that courage is anchored in what this passage ends with. Be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Anchored in that, we need to choose to be courageous and go God's way. We need to recognize that it's not going to happen naturally. It's not, it, it, it's, If we want to do it, we're going to have to choose to do it. If we want to prosper, we are going to have to invest in this. There's no other way. The world's way doesn't work. And we need to do it in accordance with the way he says it. And that is in the Word. Speaking the Word, thinking the Word, and doing the Word. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to look at this passage. I pray that these thoughts would be the thoughts that would be carrying us as we go forward. Lord, help us to be a courageous people. We have an opportunity to minister in a neighborhood that a lot of other people don't even like visiting. But Father, what a blessing it is to minister here and to plug into lives and see lives changed. We rejoice in who you are and all that you do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.